left, and it seemed like a long time. Anyway, a couple things, kind of business things that I want to take care of, but things that are very important to you that I want to share with you and us as a body. I want to remember Nick Bryant. Nick is getting called up, I believe, to do some flood relief. I think, did he already go? Do you know? I'm trying to get the, do you know about this, Gene, at all, or am I speaking out of turn? Nick Bryant, do you know anything about it? That he's going to be getting called up, possibly? He's up. Okay, thank you. He's getting called up. He's called up. He's up. He's up. Nick's up. Anyway, be praying for Nick and all the people that are out. That it was just simple, you know. Just he's there. So Nick is serving our state, and Brenda and I went down to try to get to the campground on Thursday. Of course, we couldn't. Connersville was closed. Metamora was closed. It's a mess. We went down yesterday, and there's a lot to be done. And if you have any inkling to help, call me during this week, and we'll see what we can do. We're trying to find some ways we can help. I know several people in both areas that have affected Metamora. I don't know how they're going to come back out of this. They were like 6 foot underwater, and they were already struggling as a little town. So be praying for them, and they'll be resilient. Maybe they'll hop back. Also, Nick's birthday today. Happy birthday, Nick. And glad to have you here today. He's our janitor, and we're glad for him and the way that he serves the Lord here. Tomorrow, Tom Bonta is going in for a biopsy, and pray that goes well and that everything is okay with that, because they're trying to figure out what's going on with him. I also go in for a procedure tomorrow to figure out what my next steps are for my heart. I'm going to be, they put me under and all that stuff. So we'll find out. It'll be maybe Tuesday or something. We'll know what's going on more with my heart. I think I'm praying it's good, and we'll see what happens from there. Who knows? What else? The Law family. Continue to pray for the Law family. And also Deb Locke. Deb's sister passed this last week, and it was pretty unexpected, is the way I understand. And so she was a young lady, 57. And so anytime death comes, it comes on top of us very, very hard. And so be praying for those folks. Let's pray, and we'll get right into it. Jesus, we love you, and we come to you right now, just asking you to continue to move. We're so thankful for our worship time, and not time, but our worship that we were able to be a part of, and just hearing the voice, I believe, of the Holy Spirit just cry out a little bit today. And God, it is good to worship together with the family of God. And we pray right now as we go to the Word that you would prick our hearts, but that you would begin a remodel of the ways some things that we do in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the second week of a series called Follow, and we're calling it Follow Unlocked, and that's what we're going to be doing the whole next year, is talking about how to follow. And we're going to be talking about that in different parts. All this past year, we've been talking about all for Jesus. Some of you still wear your bracelets. Some of you maybe not. But we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to see where God takes us this morning. When we opened last week, today is just a continuation from last week. So if you weren't here last week, you might go online and listen to that sermon, because it was very, not because I did it, but because it was very informative to kind of show us how we begin to follow God and what that means to be a disciple. I'm going to review that very quickly today and then get into where a couple things that I want to share with you. Last week I asked you this question: who's your rabbi and who are you rabbiing? Okay? What I mean by that, who is teaching you? Of course, Jesus, he better be your rabbi, but you need a physical person. Who is somebody that you look to and say, I listen to them. I follow them as they follow the Lord. And then the second question, which cuts to the quick on all of us: who are you rabbiing? Who are you making an influence on? Who is going to go to heaven because you're investing in their life? And that makes it a little bit harder to deal with today, because a lot of us, we're so busy with things that are going on in our life. We're like, I'm just barely keeping my head above water. You're asking me to do something with somebody else? And I'm going, I'm not, but Jesus is. Jesus is asking you to follow. So let's get into it. Review of last week, very quickly. Matthew 9:9 should come up on our screen. It says this: as Jesus was going down the road, he saw Matthew sitting in his tax collection booth, and he said these words, "Come be my disciple." Jesus said, so Matthew got up, and he followed him. All right? Discipleship. That's what we're talking about. Following Jesus. Today, Jesus Christ makes the same exact offer to all of us to follow, to come and see who he is, and to go down that path of commitment and grow deeper and closer to him every day. The word Bible is actually used in different ways. The word discipleship is used in different ways in the Bible. First, it's referred to as anybody who's being trained by somebody else. So somebody else is training you. Second, in the Bible, it talks about these 12 disciples, or later apostles, that Jesus chose, and he poured his life into them for 3 years. And lastly, the word disciple is used as a synonym for Christians. The early Christians weren't called Christians. They weren't called followers of Christ. They were said, oh, who's your rabbi? Oh, that they're disciples of Jesus. And that's what they were called for a long time. Long time. Last week, we said we must spend time with Jesus to be a disciple. If you don't spend time with Jesus, you got no business discipling anybody else, because all you're going to disciple is probably what you read on your social media, or what your books you read or stuff like that. If you don't spend time with Jesus, you got no business rabbiing anybody else. I must love him supremely, we said last week. If you're going to love him, you must love him above all. You must love him more than all others, than all other things. And then last week we said, I must also love other disciples, people who are in my path, people who are Christians, that I say, I want to be a part of their life, and I want to show them who Jesus is in my life. So here it is. Here's who Jesus is. That's where we left off last week. That was 27 minutes last week. Let's get into it today. Two things that I'm going to share with you today, and then we're going to close in a different kind of way. What I would call number four. I just went through three. Let's do number four. Jesus says, if you want to be a disciple, you must do what he says. You must obey. Okay? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. If you want to be called a disciple, you must do what he asks you to do. That's the mark of a disciple. It may not make sense. It may not be popular. It might cost you some stuff, but the right thing is always the right thing, because God's not going to steer you ever in a wrong direction. He will never take you somewhere you're not supposed to go. He will take you exactly where you need to be. Watch in John 8:31 says this, and then we're going to unpack that just a little bit. John 8:31 says this: if you continue to obey my teaching, you are truly my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We love that verse to death. The truth will set you free. We know it by heart, but we don't know the other part, the first part. Everybody in America knows that second part. The truth will set you free. Yeah, truth will set you free. We're digging that. We like that. Yeah. But the other part is a little bit meatier. John 8 says that spiritual growth is an ongoing process. It's something that takes a time. It doesn't just pop up on you one day and you go, oh, I'm mature. Oh, I'm ready. I'm here. I'm good to go. It's till the day you die, you're maturing. The day you pass. John 8 also says this, that spiritual growth is measured. What's the metric to know if you're a disciple? It's if you're obeying it. If you're obeying the word that he has. He says, if you continue to obey my teaching, then you're my disciples. Are you obeying his teaching? Follow this. I only believe the part of the Bible that I do it. I think I put this up there. I only believe the part of the Bible that I do. Right? Otherwise, you would be doing it. What are you talking about, Jeff? Well, you say, you believe, but if you don't do it, then do you really believe it? Do you believe that you should forgive people who hurt you? Yes, absolutely. Do you? Then you don't believe it. Do you believe that you should always return good for evil? Yes. Do you do it? No. Do you believe you should tithe? Oh, yes, 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 you should tithe. Do you do it? Maybe. Maybe not. Do you really believe it? Do you believe that you should share your faith with other people? Oh, yes, yes, we need to get the word out there. Do you? Have you? Are you? Spiritual growth is a process, and it's measured by obedience. Are you being obedient? Third thing that John 8 shows us is that spiritual growth is based on God's word and God's word alone. It is not some pop culture thing. It is not something, some philosophy of man. It's not Nietzsche. It's not any of those things. They're good things, but they're not God things. It's truth, and we feed on truth. It's soul food. It's food for your soul. The more you grow spiritually, the freer your life is going to be. Now follow this. Don't check out. You're going to be set free from the expectations of others. You won't have to please other people if you are obedient to God. You're going to be set free from memories of stuff that happened to you when you were a kid, when you got molested, when something horrific happened to you. You can come away from that. You can be free from that. You can become free from addictions of all kinds. You can be free from resentment. You can be free from horrible habits. And then he talks about the glory of God in human form is this, is when we are set free, when we are truly obedient. That's when we are truly the human form of God here on this earth. We are being God's hands and feet, not just handing out stuff and giving the free stuff, which is good, but it has to have that other part of obedience that our life backs it up, that our words and our thoughts do guide our actions. We are human. We are human, and humans have a problem. We get off track. And when we get off track, we get way off track. John 15 says this. If you continue to live in me, John 15, 7 and 8, if you continue to live in me and what I say lives in you, now listen, then ask anything you want, and it will be yours. You give glory to my Father by doing what? By being obedient. That's how God's glory is set free to do crazy, awesome stuff here. When you are obedient to God, therefore, he says, show you that you are my disciples. How do I do that? By being obedient to God, following him as I follow. Follow me as I follow Christ. How do you do that? How do I get there? Do you get there gradually? Yeah, you do. You have to continue to live in me. He says, it's continual. It's a day-to-day process. Today I'm going to be more like him than I was yesterday. Are you? Are you? Or are you sliding back? You don't care about God. You don't care about God's stuff. You care more about the Colts and Notre Dame and everything else except, sorry, Brandon, I just saw you. I didn't know you were here. Good. Good job, Jeff. Thanks, God. Anyway, it does. You care more about that. That's a God. It's a God if it's before God, right? I'm not saying that. That's what the Bible's saying. So if we're human, we got to have a plan. You got to have a track to run on. You got to have a guideline. Show me how to do this, Jeff. And that's what I'm doing. That's what we're going to spend the next year doing. I'm going to show you, how do you follow? How do you become a disciple that when the opportunity comes to go off track, you don't. You say, get behind me, Satan. Go to hell. Go right back to where you came from. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Here's the truth, and all of you need to grab onto this truth right now, because some of you, this is what has stopped you from moving forward with Jesus. When we're growing, Jesus loves you at every stage. No matter if you came in here today and you're sinning left and right, and you know you are. You're doing so many things you know God doesn't like, and you're walking in here today and your plate is full of this big thing. He still loves you. Still loves you. And I'm talking to Christian people today. I'm talking to people who should say, I know Jesus, and I love him. Do you? Then today may be a day that Jesus wants to start talking through you to other people. He loves you at every stage that you're going through. No, it doesn't matter what. Jesus had a plan. He had a pathway. He was teaching his disciples first to know who he was and to love him. Jesus' disciple plan is this, is first to know who Jesus is, to know who Christ is. It's then, once you know him, you love him. And then you can't love him until you know him. And then you learn to love his family. And then you learn to start serving Christ. And then you start sharing Christ. But we get it back asswards. Sorry, but that's just what it is. We get it backwards. I fruit pen, I shouldn't have said that. Okay, so we get it backwards. And the backwards is this, is that we come to Jesus at every church in America and we stick something in their hand. We say, go serve Jesus. That's how you can love him. That's not where you start. You start by loving him. You start by getting to know him. You start by loving his family. You start by knowing that who Jesus is. Then you start serving. It's okay to do some stuff serving, but you gotta start by knowing who Christ is and loving him. And then you move forward. I do repent. I shouldn't have said that. Forgive me, please. You will forgive me? Online, please forgive me. I should have never said that. It just was in my mind. I'm not perfect. It's like a baby. A baby has to learn how to breathe. And then it learns to eat. Then it learns to walk. Then it learns to talk. And we all grow at different stages. We all grow at different rates. Every one of us go through these same exact physical stages. The idea that I'm sharing with you is that people, when we grow systematically. And that's not new. For 2,000 years, churches have been doing this. The Catholic Church was wonderful at this. Catechism. We call it catechism. Here's how you follow God. And every church has a catechism of sorts that says, here's what you do. It's a path to follow God. That's what we're going to get on again this year. Because I think a lot of us have jumped off the path. We don't mind serving. We don't mind doing a few things. But honestly, the knowing God and the loving God and loving the family, it's got to come too. It's got to come. It's got to get in the mix. Otherwise, you serve and you get tired of serving. Otherwise, you get broken down. Otherwise, you don't want to show people anything. I don't want people to know about our church. Our church doesn't like each other. Somebody comes up and asks me who I am. I don't know. I don't want to talk to you. How can that go on? How can that be? But it does, because we're people and we're scared. Oh, don't talk to me. Don't touch me. Don't see me. Don't look at me. Don't. How in the world, church, can we do what Jesus has asked us to do? You need a pathway to grow. That's what we're going to do this next year. For instance, I'm just about done. I'm going to blow through the last part. You can't say that you have the character quality of honesty unless it's a habit and you always tell the truth. Watch this. If you tell the truth 70% of the time, you're not honest. It is not a habit. It is not a character quality. You need to be honest on and on every day. Bring the kids on in. They're coming in. It's good. They're coming in. We're going to pray with them here in a minute. If I say to my wife, Brenda, honey, I love you so much, and I have the quality of faithfulness to you 25 days a month, is that okay? No, it would not be okay. Right, women? Right? Come on, women. Men are going, maybe, you know. No. Come on. Women, right? Come on in, kids. Have a seat. Come on up here in the seats. We got chairs for you right up here. There's two or three whole rows up here. Come on up. Everybody say hi to the kids. Glad I was saying what I said later. Come on up, get a seat, and I'll stop. Hi, guys. We'll include you here in just a second, okay? We love you guys. We're so glad you're here. All these things that I'm talking about today, what it is, it's radical devotion. It's radical devotion to being radically devoted to God. I love God. And lastly, here's the last mark of a disciple, and then we're going to close. To be a disciple, I got to pass forward the good news. Follow me as I follow Christ. I have to pass it on. If you're not passing it on, you are missing the boat. Hi, kids. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great. You all right, Red? Okay. What he's talking about here, what he's been talking about when he says this, he says, Matthew 4:20, he said, Jesus called out and he says, come be my disciple and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and they went and they started to fish for people. They didn't wait. They just started saying, here's what I know about Jesus. That's what you do. You share what you know and you say, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not a perfect product. I screw up. I just said, you know what I said a little bit ago? I'm not all that. And so Jesus comes up to his disciples and they're on the shoreline. And back then they didn't use fishing reels. They had nets. And he looks at him and says, come be my disciple and I'll show you how to fish for people. What's he mean by that? He says, I'll show you how to change lives. That's what you're in the business of doing. You're not in the business of griping about politics. You're not in the business of griping about all the things that are wrong with our world. You are in the business of saying, follow me as I follow Christ. And if you can't do that, you got an issue. You have an issue. So if you're not fishing, you're not following. If you knew the cure for cancer and you didn't tell anybody, that would be horrible. And there are people today dying every day and going to not heaven. They're going to a place of eternal torment because they don't know who God is. They don't know who Jesus is. You're going to heaven because somebody told you, your grandma, your grandpa, some church, some revival, some person, somebody told you, and somebody told them, and somebody else told them. And here you are today, sitting here in this epicenter of our world crashing around us. There's all kinds of religions going on. There's all kinds of unrest. And we have the answer. Jesus is the answer. And if you do not believe that, then stop saying you're a believer. Stop saying you're a follower of Christ. And so here's the next steps. Ben, you can come on up. I want to show you something. Here's where some of you need to be. Don't check out because they're coming up here. They'll just come up quietly. Here's maybe what you're sitting here and go, Jeff, I don't know what to do next. What should I do next? Maybe it means that you need to commit your life to Jesus for the first time today. Maybe you've never publicly done that. Or like maybe to be baptized. Or you should say, oh, I'd like to try to join a small group and find out what you're talking about because we're working on some really good small groups this year. Maybe you'd like to start a group. Maybe you're here and go, maybe I should start tithing. I understand, Jeff, I should tithe, but I just haven't gotten in the habit. I got out of the habit. Start tithing. We grow by making commitments. That's how you lose weight. You make a commitment. That's how you get healthier. You make a commitment. That's how you save money. You make a commitment. On and on and on. You grow spiritually big if you choose to grow. And if you choose to grow, you will grow. And that's my prayer and our hope for this group right here this next year. these guys are not they're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of the day. And we're going to do whatever we can to take these kids right here and to show them who Jesus is. But it doesn't come from them and their peers. It comes from you showing them who Jesus is. Follow me as I follow Christ. Everybody stay right where you are, and the lights are going to go down. I'm coming up. Ben, just hang on. Here. Did you shut me off? Yes, don't shut me off. I have some new bands, and I'm going to start with, I'm going to go down here, and I'm passing this out. I know it's going to take 10 minutes, but I'm sorry. I want to do it. I have been praying over these bands for 3 weeks now, and I want to hand one physically to every one of you, and I don't want you to put it on. I'm going to give you some instructions, but I'm going around this church of right now of 100 and some people, and I'm going to give everybody a bracelet. Don't put it on. Sorry for the... It sounded better in my mind when I was having this done. There you go. There you go. Don't put it on. Like, what is Jeff doing to us today? There you go. Mm-hmm. I got 400 of these things, so we'll see what happens. Here you go, guys. Sorry. No, thank you. No. Nope. Thank you, though. Got one? Thanks. I wanted to give everyone, because I want you to take this very seriously. I'm coming. I promise, other side. I'm coming. There's three. Kind of an unusual end, isn't it? Kids, you okay? Kamala? Doc? Ma'am? Mm-hmm. I'm coming to you guys last. There's three. Got five, six, five. See what that does. Thank you. Three, four. There you go. Here's the first thing I know about bracelets. Bracelets are dumb. I've never liked them. I've never worn them until this last year because it was just a reminder. And I like reminders. It's like my wedding ring. I look at that and I remember some good things. Mm-hmm. Just pass them out, please. I'm coming. I know it's slow. We still got 3 minutes. Hang on. Just pass them down. I'm going to put a bunch of them on the back row. So if you didn't get one, yeah. John, three. There you go. And Ben, I'm going to put yours up here. Don't forget to get it. Okay, hold them up in the air. Kids, yours is coming. I promise. Here you go. Everybody take one. Did I step on your foot? I did. I'm sorry. Forgive me. There you go. About done. Promise. Keep holding up in the air. I know it's a big task. There you go. Everybody got one? Okay. They're up here, band. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want to challenge you today. You're going to have a moment while the band's going to sing. They're going to sing a song, and you can put your hands down when they start singing, and you decide, do you want to wear that? If you wear it, I'd like you to commit to wearing it for 3 months. And I'll give you another one if you lose. And the commitment is, you're making a big commitment because when you wear that, you know what you're saying? You're saying that you're living your life as one who wants to follow somebody. And you've got a wonderful connection to say, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what it says on there. Okay, you can put your hands down now. I see arms going, oh, I'm tired. I want you to think about it. If you do not want to do that right now, take it home, stick it in your pocket. Do not wear it. Do not wear it if you're not willing to do that. Do not wear it. Do not wear it. But if you are, put it on, and see what God does as we move forward and we try to find out what it means to follow Jesus every day. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the commitment that you give us, the commitment to follow you, the commitment to look to you for all things that we are directed by. God, just now as we sing, let our hearts be convicted of the thing that you want to do in us today. If we're not ready for it, God, I understand. But if we are ready for it, help us to take it and to go forward like a house of fire. We love you and praise your name. Amen. We're going to sing right now as the lights go down, just as between you and God. And then I'll stand back up and we'll pray and we'll go to the party.